Hello everyone, my name is Philippe and this is the podcast Life with AI, the podcast that we talk about artificial intelligence in a simpler way. And for this episode, this is an extra one. I won't edit the episode, I won't put the songs, anything. I'm just here to talk about Llama 3. I'm super, super excited about it, and that's why I decided to record this episode today. Normally I publish on Thursday and I'm just like publishing today after I published an episode yesterday. Doesn't matter. What matters is Meta just released Llama 3, and it's the first time that an open source model has a quality of a closed source model, like head to head. They already released the 8 billion and the 70 billion models, and they are still training the 400 billion ones. And each one of those models, they have the kind of the same capacity of the same size, a closed source model. So like when you compare 8 billion to the Claude, the smaller Claude, the Claude 3, like the Gemini and so on, they have great results, and I'm very, very happy. So here I'm going to mainly talk about what they discussed in the blog. There is still not a paper, and once there is a paper, I'm going to record like a more robust episode explaining everything. So the first difference that we can see is that they didn't release 7 and 70 billion. They released 8 billion instead of 7, but they said that the inference time for 8 billion is the kind of the same of inference time for the Llama 2, 7 billion. This is because they use a grouped query attention instead of just a multi-head attention. And basically, multi-head attention, you have a key, a query, and a value for every single head, while grouped query attention, like the biggest difference is multi-head attention to multi-query attention, that you have multiple queries, one for each head, and the key and the values, they are shared between the heads. But they use a grouped query attention, that is an improvement of multi-head attention, where you have a one query for each head, and the keys and the queries, they are separated in groups, not only one for all of them, but like some smaller groups, and then in the smaller groups they share. So this is the difference. And also the tokenizer that they improved from Llama 2 to Llama 3, it's a tokenizer of 128k. As a vocabulary size, and they said that it takes around 15% less tokens to produce the same answer as Llama 2. So with those two, like the grouped query attention and the better tokenizer, they can have the same inference time with more parameters, and they trained with a context length of 8k, but they said they're gonna improve this context length in the next releases. So one thing, and for me, this is the most amazing one. They trained the model on 15 trillion tokens. This is 7 times more than Llama 2. Llama 2 was trained on around 2 billion tokens, and now 15 trillion tokens, and 4 times more code data. And also what they said, like you guys probably know, I'm Brazilian, only 5% of the data was from other languages. So 95% of the data is in English, and 5% of the data is in 30 different languages. So the model doesn't really have a multi-language capabilities, but they said that in the future, they're gonna try to bring multi-language capabilities. But I'm pretty sure that the community gonna start fine-tuning this model to other languages. And that's the beauty of open source. Like they release a very strong base models and the community start doing whatever they want with this model. So yeah, not yet multi-language, like kind of multi-language, only 5% of the data, like still 15 trillion tokens. 5% of this is 750 billion tokens. That is probably more than most of the models that were trained like in total, but still like it's only 5% of the data. One thing that they did, that they said they did, is that to verify the quality of the data, like they spent a lot of time on like data curation, and I'm pretty sure that every company before releasing those models, they do it, like the data curation, they both used the Llama 2 model to classify if the data that they were inputting is good or not, like in the data curation step, along with some other like filtering techniques to verify that the data is good, there is no problem in the data, and so on. So this is pretty standard. Another thing that they mentioned in the blog post that I hope they're going to explore better in the paper is the scaling loss. So I never really talked about scaling loss, but this is something very important on like LLMs and deep learning. That is the amount of parameters that you have with the amount of data that you can train. So there is a very famous paper that explains like the chinchilla optimal scaling law. And from the chinchilla optimal training for 8 billion parameters, it should be around 200 billion tokens. But in the paper, they trained the 8 billion parameters with 15 trillion tokens in the Llama 3. And they said that despite the law, Like they saw that the model still improves log linearly with more than 200 billion parameters. So like till around this 200 billion, the model gonna improve a lot. And then once it passes the 200 billion, the model gonna learn more. It's still gonna learn, but like in less through the same amount of tokens. So I hope they explain it more in the paper, because I'm interested to see. But like they train the model with 2 times more order of magnitude than the chinchilla optimal training. And yeah. Another thing that they mentioned in the blog post is that they spent a lot of time improving the training stack for Llama 3. So this is something that can save them a lot of time and money. Because the thing is not really the performance, but like the time and money that it costs to train the model. So they spent a lot of time on the checkpoints, the security and so on, like how do you recover if you fail, like the checkpoints and so on. And they said that they used 400 teraflops per GPU and they trained in a cluster of 16,000 GPUs simultaneously. This is huge. And just like a small math, an H100 has around 990 teraflops. So they used around 40% of the GPU, so a GPU usage of 40% is not bad at all for this kind of training. And they said that Llama 3 had a 3 times more efficient training than Llama 2. So like imagine 3 times more efficiency, how much money they didn't pay, like it saved for them. So this is super cool. For the instruction fine-tuning part, they said they used the supervised fine-tuning, rejection sampling that I don't really know what it is, and I hope they explain it better in the paper. Probably there are other papers that explained it, but I don't know. Like, honestly, I just read the blog post and I came here to discuss with you guys, to talk to you guys. So, as I said, instruction fine-tuning was done with supervised fine-tuning, rejection sampling, PPO, that is proximal policy optimization, and DPO, that is direct policy optimization. And they said that the data used in the supervised fine-tuning, PPO, and DPO played a very crucial role in the quality of the model. So they said they also spent a lot of time here, like not only the curation of the pre-training data set with the 15 trillion tokens, but the instruction fine-tuning part. They said they spent a lot of time, a lot of human resources to annotate the data and multiple annotators to verify that the data is indeed good to go for the model training. And guys, one thing that is interesting mentioned here is like the amount of money that it costs to train this model. It does make sense to spend a lot of money in the preparation step. Because like one day that they... So like the 3 times more... The GPU usage and the 3 times more efficient to train, this saved them like millions, like multiple millions. And that's why it does make sense to spend a lot of people and a lot of time in the curation part of the training of the model. Because the training itself is more expensive than every people that worked on it. So yeah, it does make sense. And they did, apparently they did a very good job. One thing that they also said and released with this blog post and with Llama 3 is a system level approach for security. So they don't, so like, of course, not only the model they improved, but also they created a system level approach for security once you deploy in like with the system. That is a system input level mitigation. So like they're gonna verify if the input has any problem. Like, and here I'm talking mainly about like security issues on like prompt injection and so on. So a system input level mitigation, of course, a model level mitigation, like the model choosing if you should answer or not. And then an output level mitigation. So it decreases the chance of the model like being prompt injected, being hacked or something. So for them, it's very important, apparently. They launched Llama Guard 2, that is a foundation for prompt and response safety. This also like with the safety part. The CyberSec Eval 2, that is a new version of their CyberSec Eval, that's gonna evaluate the risk of LLM on a prompt injection. And you could put like whatever LLM you want and you'll be able to verify how good or how bad it is against a prompt injection. And also the Code Shield, that is an inference time guardrail for filtering insecure code produced by LLM. So this part is more focused on like code producing and interacting with IDEs and so on. And this Code Shield would help on this. And one thing that is interesting, like I think I use the word interesting a lot of times in this episode because it is indeed, and I'm very happy with what they did, is that if you take Llama 1, they didn't open source it for like commercial uses and other stuff because they were afraid on how people could use it. On Llama 2, they already spent a lot of time in the safety check so they could open source the model and make it more available for people to use. And we can see that also on Llama 3, they put a lot of effort in the security and safety part, which is amazing. So just to finish, what they said for the overcoming months, they said that the model gonna have a multimodality techniques, which is cool. And I'm excited to see how good their vision part and the multimodality part gonna be compared to the closed source models. As it's the first one, I'm not really sure that it's gonna be as good as the closed source, but I hope that it's gonna be close and well, let's see. They also gonna have an improvement on multimodality, so probably make the model better on other languages. Longer context window, so for the moment it's 8,000, and for the future they want to increase it, and they said more, so I don't know what is more than this, but I'm excited. Meta, really thank you, and like I would love you, like honestly, for the open source community, you are being amazing. Thanks Mark Zuckerberg and everyone that worked in the project, like Ian LeCun, I'm a big fan. And yeah, so that's it. Just sharing some love to Meta because they deserve it. And like putting that much effort, money, people into this open source project. This is amazing for the community. And I share the vision of Ian LeCun that like the future of large language models will be open source. And it's amazing the work that they are doing for the community. So really thank you for everything you are doing. So that's it, guys. Just a hands-on episode. No, I won't edit. I won't put song. It's just this. Like, I'm super happy and I wanted to share with you. And I hope you are also happy. And you guys can also use the model. So I'm going to leave a question here. Like, if you guys have already tried the model and what do you think? And yeah, if you can interact, it's very nice to hear from you guys. So see you, and like, don't forget to follow the podcast, share the podcast with your friends, and that's it. See you guys, goodbye, and have a good weekend.